Please stand by. Welcome and... Please stand by. Stand by. Welcome and thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference update on vSAM and the vSAM tools from IBM. Today's teleconference will last approximately 60 minutes and will include a live question and answer session. And at this time, I'd like to hand it over to our first speaker, PJ Barron, Business Unit Executive, Application Development Tools Americas. Please go ahead.
Thank you. I'd like to thank everyone for joining us today. Over the last quarter or so of business, we were out doing many road shows in various cities on CICS and our problem determination tools. And through a show of hands, many of the folks out there said that they still have quite a bit of vSAM and didn't know what IBM was doing with vSAM, where we're going, and what kind of tools we had to help the application system programmers with their vSAM applications. So today we're going to do an overview of where we are with vSAM and touch on a couple tools that could help out those folks still with pretty heavy workloads of vSAM. So our speakers today will be Steve Branch covering vSAM from our SVL lab. Then we have Dan Brown, one of our above region specialists. And then George Lees, another above region specialist covering some tools. At the end of the call, we're going to ask you a few polling questions. Those polling questions we'll pretty much just ask some information about our call today, as well as if you want information on any of the certain subjects you heard in today's call. And that helps us to know whether to call you back on things and get you information. After that, we'll have Q&A, in which we'll also have another gentleman join us, Steve Blackman, from our KIX Technical Lab. So I'll let the call start. It'll be about an hour. Do the polling questions, and then we'd love to answer any questions you have. Steve?
Hello, my name's Stephen Branch. I work at the Silicon Valley Lab with vSAM. I would like to talk today about vSAM, where we are, and where we're going. Our first slide is vSAM in the history. vSAM is over 30 years old. It started as a product called Access Method 1. Just before it was to be released, the marketing group decided that we would call it Virtual Storage Access Method. This was to key in with the idea of MVS, multiple virtual storage. vSAM is both an access method and a data set type. Sometimes this can be confusing because we use and talk about vSAM as both. There are four vSAM components. vSAM record management, which is probably the one most people think about when they think about vSAM, because this is the one that reads, writes, deletes, and adds records. But there's also other important aspects of vSAM. The vSAM open-close into volume. The open component builds the records. The closed component makes sure that all the information is written out and records are processed correctly. EOV, or end of volume, refers to when we have to take another extent on a new volume. There's a lot of information that needs to be kept about a vSAM data set, and that's kept in the ICF catalog. And then there's IDCAMS, IDC-AMS. Some people call it IDCAMS, others call it IDCAMS. And this is the utility that's used to work with vSAM data sets. vSAM is a part of Base OS. On the next slide, you'll see a list of the original three types of vSAM data sets: the entry sequence data set, ESDS, key sequence data set, KSDS, and the relative record data set, RRDS. These were in the initial offering. An ESDS is the simplest VSAM dataset type. Records are written in time sequence. The definition of record is a logical unit of data. It has length. In an ESDS, records have no keys. Records can be variable length, and the position of the record in the dataset is not important. An ESDS is similar to a physical sequential dataset. At the bottom, you'll see a small example of what one might look like. Next slide. The keyed sequence dataset, or KSDS, is the primary access dataset type for VSIM. This is our premier dataset type and the one most people think of when they think of VSIM. The records are kept in sequence by a unique key. An index of keys is kept and points into the data. The index is used to search for the records directly. Records can be accessed sequentially also. The records can be variable length. This search is very fast. It's slower than the relative record, but it's a good performer nonetheless. And below is a small example. You will see an index with A5, C3, G7, T2, and those would be pointers into the actual data, and you will see the keys there, and they're kept in order. The third type of initial offering for VSAM records was the relative record dataset, or RRDS. The record position is the key of the record. That is, the first record will have a key of 1, and the 100th record will have a key of 100. The records must be fixed length. The records are located by multiplying the key by the record length. In reality, RRDSs are rare in the world. However, they can be used to provide very fast access should you have this need. After VSAM came out, we had a need for what is known as linear data sets. These are similar to ESDSs, but they have no concept of records. Processing is still by what we call a control interval. This is a area of storage that contains various records in a VSAM data set. A CI can be thought of as a block. DB2 was the first user of linear data sets, and they did not need the control information that's kept in the control interval. Therefore, we invented this linear data set concept. Next slide. Variable relative record data sets behave like RRDSs, but are really a KSDS by key. There's no way to compute the position of a record because the records are variable length, so an index is used. This access method was an outgrowth from a requirement from the U.S. government. VSAM data sets only reside on DASD, unlike sequential data sets, which can be on tape or DASD or any other media. They must be cataloged unless they are VSAM temporary data sets. And by temporary data sets, these are ones that only have a lifetime within a job or a job step. For the regular VSAM data sets, there's an entry in the catalog or a catalog record. There are entries in a VSAM volume data set. There are one of these for each volume. These entries are called VSAM volume records. And then there are entries in the volume table of contents, or VTOC. These entries are called dataset control blocks, or DSCBs. Every DASD dataset has a DSCB. The utility we use to access VSAM datasets is called Access Method Services. It's also known as IDCAMS or IDCAMS. The purpose of this utility is to define, delete, alter, list, and recover datasets, especially VSAM datasets, but it's not limited to just VSAM datasets. The manual for IDCAMS is SC26-7394 and has a complete list of all the commands that are used to accomplish definition and deletion and alteration of VSAM datasets. AMS can be invoked via JCL, TSO, or can be called by an assembler program. Next slide. One important feature of vSAM datasets is the alternate index. It provides a means to reference an ESDS by a key, or it provides a means to reference a KSDS by other than the primary key. The clusters pointed to by an AX are called base clusters. It allows for duplicate keys. Now, in the KSDS, the primary key cannot be duplicated, but with an alternate index, you can have duplicate keys pointing at different records. An alternate index is a KSDS in itself. It has a data and an index component. Through the years, we've enhanced vSAM, and there's been a lot of additions. Compression for KSDSs allows you to compress key sequence data sets. Striping is used to spread the records across volumes. The spreading is done across control units for purposes of sequential performance. Extended addressability allows for data sets, vSAM data sets, that are greater than 4 gigabytes. Partial release allows you to release unused space at the end of the data set. And then there's system-managed buffering, which allows the system to choose the buffering technique which best suits your application. Record-level sharing and transactional vSAM are our latest additions. Record-level sharing allows record-level sharing within a sysplex. It's done using the coupling facility and provides locking, two-phase commit, and logging facilities in the CSCS online environment. Transactional vSAM provides locking, two-phase commit, and logging facilities in a batch environment. It allows multiple batch update jobs to run concurrently with CICS access to the same data sets while maintaining integrity and recoverability. I've listed off a couple of manuals that will help you to understand vSAM. I've already alluded to the Access Method Services for Catalogs manual. This is the one that contains all the vSAM commands. The Using Datasets manual has a complete description of vSAM and all of its functions. And then there are a couple of other manuals, Managing Catalogs, Macro Instructions for Datasets, that you'll find useful. There's also a very good red book, and I've listed the URL to get to it. It's called vSAM Demystified, and it's an easy, understandable book that describes vSAM. Also, you can look for topics in the Hot Topics magazine. There's one that came out just this issue on vSAM reorganization. In summary, vSAM is both a data set type and an access method that provides a rich assortment of options for your application needs. vSAM is a tested technology with a long history of reliability and performance. ZOS customers depend upon vSAM for their business needs. I always like to finish up my presentations with giving you my email address. So if you'd like to contact me, please feel free. I will now turn the call over to Dan Brown in the PD Tools Group. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. As Steve mentioned, my name is Dan Brown, and I'll be covering a number of tools that IBM offers to manipulate vSAM data and even look at performance as it relates to vSAM being accessed via an application. We will be talking a little bit about version 8 of these tools today that allow for manipulation of vSAM data. Going to slide number 20, just a little commercial on IBM Solutions. We offer a set of tools that, as you can see, exploit IBM's latest software and processor technology, including the latest technology within vSAM. We also provide tools that have no license keys, which means that we do no CPU ID checking or expiration of the tools in any way. Going to slide number 21, the first tool that I'm going to briefly speak about is File Manager for ZOS. Now, you will notice that I have plugged in a number of slides here, mainly for your reference, so that any point after the presentation, you can go back and review these slides and screenshots of the product. Going on to slide number 22, what is File Manager? It's basically an integrated set of functions for the application's developers working with vSAM across a wide range of formats, including formatting with copybooks and storage media, including if you have copied a vSound file to a tape. There's a number of things we can do, as you can see, browse, find data, edit any size vSound file, generate data for down to a field level for a vSound record. As it says, it's ideal for creating and working with application test data and locating problems within within vSound files. Going to slide number 23, these are some of the key features for File Manager ZOS. Even though we're focused on vSound today, File Manager does provide support for DB2, IMS, and we also recently added a CICS component for File Manager, which I'll go into just briefly a little later on. Out of the key features, I won't read these off, but you can see there's a number of things that we do to manipulate vSound data. We do provide support for all versions of all types, I should say, of vSound files, as Steve went over previously. To the right, some new things that we've recently came out with in version 8 of File Manager. We are now integrated with the RDZ product, which is a desktop product that allows you to look at File Manager from a GUI perspective. We also added some data scrambling, which allows you to scramble sensitive data should you be, for example, copying data from a vSound file from production to test. You can scramble sensitive data as you do the copy. We have made some significant enhancements to our edit and browse capability, specifically for vSound. As I mentioned before, with File Manager, there is no file limit or size of vSound file that you may want to edit. And then we also have enhanced the other components of File Manager as well. Going to slide number 24. Just a brief overview of some of the problems that folks have in working with files or vSound data. As it says there, you may want to modernize, extend your System Z applications inventory, but it's taking too long. One of the solutions could be File Manager identifies the structure of your vSound records and displays and allows manipulation of each record or each field according to its data type. So by using a copybook, we're able to accomplish that. So the value promotes understanding and speeds the development process. Going to slide number 25, this product, File Manager, was really developed for application developers in mind. As I mentioned before, it formats vSAM and QSAM data based on COBOL or PL1 copybooks. We have a number of different ways you can display the data and a number of utilities that you can use to manipulate the data, as you'll see later. Going to slide number 26, some of the commonly used items within File Manager is the ability to do a global find within a vSound file of a piece of data. You can use a find and the global change down to a field level should you desire. We also have the ability within File Manager to find invalid data, and that's to say the data does not match the attribute of the field. You can also set up selection criteria if you are editing or browsing a very large vSound file to reduce the amount of time it may take to go through the file. You can use selection criteria to pinpoint the data that you want to edit or browse. As I mentioned, we can edit an entire vSound file regardless of size. We also have a copy and print capability of vSAM. We can generate data within vSAM. And then lastly, we can also compare data between two vSAM data sets. Going to slide number 27, this is a slide that is a graphical of File Manager itself and the various support that we provide. As you can see at the top, all the components that we provide, DB2, a component we call the base for File Manager that provides support for vSAM and QSAM, PDSs and the like. We also have a significant amount of tape functionality within the tool, as well as an IMS component. Also not in that chart at the top is the new CICS component, which does relate to vSAM file processing. Down at the bottom, you can see there's a number of different ways to manipulate File Manager, either via ISPF. We have a CICS transaction that you can manipulate data within a vSAM file while the file is open to CICS, or RDC, you can display it on a GUI front end on your desktop. Going to slide number 28, I won't read this off. It's pretty much what I've just previously covered. Going to slide 29, I just want to take you through a brief edit session with File Manager just to give you a feel for what it looks like. On slide 29, you'll see the primary option menu. Here we're selecting number 2, Edit. Going to slide number 30, and this is where we could identify either a VSAM file or we could identify a generic data set name with an asterisk, and it'll pull up a list of data sets that we can thereby select from. In the middle of the screen, you can see we can identify a copybook or a file manager template, and then down at the bottom is how we identify how we want to process. Meaning in this example, we want to process the copybook with the data so that we will see the data mapped to the copybook. Going to slide number 31, this is an actual edit mode of data for a VSAM file. If you look at the top center, you can see this is an ESDS VSAM file. You'll note that we have used a copybook, and therefore we see copy field names, beneath that a relative field number, beneath that the attribute for each field, and then the data. On this particular screen, you'll notice that we have some red asterisks, which is an indicator that this is invalid data for this particular field based on the attribute for the field. In this particular instance, if you look over to the left, you'll notice that we have a number of different record types, and therefore this particular field is invalid based on this record type. Going to slide 32, I'm just going to go through very quickly some commands. Here we're doing an exclude all. Going to slide 33, here we're doing a global find, but we're doing it relative to a field number, meaning that we're going to do a find for a value of 7812 only for field number 4, which is the employee number. Going to slide 34, another example of a global find. The difference here, if you look on the command line, is that we're issuing a find to cover multiple fields, 2, 4, and 5. And then on slide number 35, you can see that this is what it looks like after we display what we just found as a result of the find command. Going to slide 36, we're going to suppress all the shadow lines. If there are any, we'll turn them on so they come back. File Manager has the unique ability to display not only just single record types, but multiple record types. In this example, in the copybook, we had multiple 01 records. Here, if you look at the left-hand side, you notice that we're displaying rec type 01, and we have rec type 02 suppressed. You'll also notice we have the correct field names for rec type 01 being displayed, and we've entered a V on the line for one of the suppressed rec type 02 lines. This is a view command. And what it will do is it will flip the screen, in this case, to display rec type 02 data with the appropriate field names. If you go to slide number 38, you will now see that as a result of entering the view command or V line command, we are now displaying the rec type 02 records along with the appropriate field names for each field. In this particular mode, we're in what we refer to as table mode, viewing the fields at the top with multiple records on the screen. We also can display a single record at a time. If you notice on the command line, we're entering an FS command for single mode. Going to slide number 39, this is an example of a single record on the screen with the field names displayed, attributes, and that sort of thing. Going to slide number 40, you can see we also have hex mode, that if you want to look at data or view the data in hex, you can enter a hex on command. We also can flip back and forth between single and table mode. Slide number 41, once in hex mode and you flip back to table mode, it will remain in hex mode until we turn it off. So if you look at the command line on slide 41, you'll notice that we're turning off hex. Going to slide 42, you see now we are now displaying character mode while we're in table mode. Going to slide number 43, if you want to make a global change, meaning I want to change perhaps data for, again, an individual field, but I want to do it for each record within the file, you'll notice on this primary command line we have a C for change, all occurrences of 65,000 to 60,000 for only field number 6, which is the salary field. Once enter is pressed and you go to slide 44, you'll notice that we do highlight the records that have changed as a result of the global change. In addition, I may want to comment on the fact that if you have audit trails set on, which you can do with File Manager, it will capture any changes that you've made to the data in an audit trail. Going to slide 45, we have a number of utilities that you can also use in regard to vSim and other data types. One is the copy utility to copy dataset A to dataset B. You can map out the fields from input to output files. You can reformat and generate data if you add a new field, for example, to a record layout. And you can also scramble data. As I mentioned earlier, if you should have sensitive data that you need to scramble. In addition to that, we can also generate XML format from our copy operation. In the middle of the screen, you see we also have a global find and change, not only for vSim data, but also PDSs and PDSEs. And then lastly, we have a compare utility that allows you to compare down to a field level if you want to compare dataset A to dataset B as well. Going to slide 46, again, just a quick summary of that. Number three, going into utilities from the primary option menu. Going to slide 47, you'll see the whole host of utilities that we provide with File Manager, all of which can be used for vSim datasets. Number one is the create or data generator for vSim to generate test data, for example. You can print data out of a vSim file even using a copybook. Copy utility, as I mentioned before. Number four is a DS list or catalog services where you could go out and allocate a new vSim file, and that could be based on an existing vSim file. VTOC, the global find and change, number six, would allow you to go out and do a global change standalone in a vSim file. And then getting on down to number 11, you can see that we can do a compare operation between two data sets. Going to slide number 48, I'll walk you through very quickly a compare utility. On this particular screen, we simply identify a vSim file or old vSim file. Optionally, we can identify a copybook if we want the compare operation to compare down to a field level. And then again, down at the bottom is where we identify how we want to generate JCL for this particular utility or use this utility interactive within ISPF. Going to slide number 49, once you've identified your old vSim file, the next screen would ask you or prompt you for the new vSim file that you want to compare against. Again, you can optionally identify a copybook or a file manager template so that you can, again, compare down to a field level. Going to slide number 50, here are some of the options, not all of the options, but some of the options that you can identify. Maybe I want a record compare or a formatted compare, meaning that I'm going to use my copybook. Over to the right of that is a listing type. I can either get a summary, meaning that I want to see the matched records, how many of them were there. I can get a complete delta listing. So there's a number of different options you have as you go through the compare utility. Going to slide number 51, this is just a snapshot of the report that you get once you've gone through the compare utility. The vertical bars identify the differences within two data sets. At the top of the screen is an example of the new data set and the old data set that we're comparing against. In some cases, this may even be PDSs that you want to compare. It also is viable to put in the compare utility. Going to slide number 52, this is the summary indicating all the number of records that we processed within each file. And then, as you can see, the matching records that we found and other criteria for the summary. Going to slide number 53, I did want to comment a little bit and show you a little bit about the File Manager CICS component. This allows you to manipulate vSim data within a file that's open to CICS. So we provide you with a CICS transaction, allow you to edit, for example, a vSim file while you're in CICS and the file is open, and then you can save the file. This is very helpful when you want to correct bad data in a CICS region. Again, everything that you saw in the previous screens apply to the CICS component, meaning that we can edit and browse with copybooks to format the records based on the copybook. Other areas of CICS that you can use File Manager for is temp storage queues as well as transient data queues. Again, you can use copybooks to format the data in those queues if you wanted to. You can print vSim data out of vSim if you wanted to. list resources within CICS and that sort of thing. As you can see on the right-hand side, we are in exploitation mode for version 3.2 of CICS today. Going to slide 54, we provide a transaction called FM when you deploy File Manager. Going to slide 55, you can see it pulls up the primary option menu within CICS. In this example, you can notice at the bottom on the command line, we're entering a 2 to edit. And then if you look toward the bottom of the screen, you see what CICS resource we want to manipulate. In this case, it's going to be a file. Going to slide number 56, unlike the ISVF component, we identify the DD name identified to CICS as the vSAM file that we want to edit in this particular case. In the middle of the screen, again, we can optionally identify a copybook and or template, and then down at the bottom, we optionally can identify how we want to process. Now, I say optional on the copybook or template. Should you not identify a copybook and or template and identify two for processing option, then it will immediately put you in character mode on the file. So a copybook and or template is not absolutely required to manipulate vSAM data in this particular instance. Going to slide number 57, this is just an example of editing a file within CICS while it's open. Again, you can see it's very similar to the ISPF component. We identify the field names, the relative field number, the attributes, and then, of course, the data. Notice also we're in table mode on this KSDS vSAM file. So that's a little bit about File Manager and how you can manipulate vSAM file in various environments. Going on to slide number 58, the next tool I want to briefly talk about is our Application Performance Analyzer tool. This tool will help you isolate any bottlenecks that you may get into with vSAM while being accessed via an application. Going to slide number 59, here are some of the features of Application Performance Analyzer. It will collect samples from any monitored address space and then produce a report. You can look at the total address space utilization of all modules in the address space, anything that's running, and that may be applications accessing vSAM. We can go down to the source statement level if that's required to see if you have some sort of bottleneck, say, within vSAM. Down toward the bottom, you can see we also provide DASD statistics, including vSAM information, which I've captured, and I'll show you a little bit of that as well as we go forward. Going to slide number 60, for Application Performance Analyzer, or as we refer to it as APA, here are some of the key features of the tool. Over to the left, you can see on slide 60 that we isolate application performance problems, pinpoint bottlenecks, and really what we're talking about there is bottlenecks in perhaps vSAM, or it could be even in DB2 or IMS. We can identify constraints. The product is non-intrusive, meaning that we monitor in our own address space so we don't have any impact on the application that we're monitoring. And then down at the bottom, you can see the various products that we support or subsystems that we support. Over to the right, we can see what's new in APA. We've added a significant amount of Java enhancements, Unix system services support. We've enhanced a number of the reports that we provide, and we've made some usability enhancements as well. Going to slide number 61, a little bit more on some features of the tool. I won't read these off. This is for your reference. Going to slide number 62, there's a number of different ways we can set up what's referred to as observations within APA. Real-time observation, meaning that we can look at a load module or application as it's executing and provide information on that. You can do a scheduled observation, meaning if an application runs at 2 a.m. in the morning and you're having some sort of bottleneck issue, you can set up APA to kick off at that time, and also via bad submission. I've already commented on the non-intrusive part of Application Performance Analyzer, but it can improve response time in online applications, improve your batch turnaround time, and most importantly to vSAM, it can identify excessive I.O. activity should you incur that. Going on to slide number 63, again, this is somewhat of a roadmap for the product. You can see the various environments that it supports, a little bit about the various ways you can produce reports. I can view reports via ISPF, or I can generate a report in PDF format if I needed to do that. Going on to slide number 64, this is a small snapshot of the various reports that can be produced with the Application Performance Analyzer. If you look down toward the bottom in the red, you see the DASD block. This is, I think, more pertinent to VSAM. Here you can see uses by device, activity timeline, I/O wait time, VSAM buffer pool usage, DASD VSAM statistics, and that sort of information. Going on to slide number 65, here we're just doing a scheduled option. Just wanted to show you what this looks like. This is the primary option screen for APA. This is scheduling a new observation. Going to slide number 66, this is a measurement profile that we want to see for a given job or application. Here we're going to select, if you look sort of toward the middle of the screen, you'll see we're selecting out the measurement profile and pressing enter. Going to slide number 67. This is kind of an overview of what's happening on the system for this particular application. If you'll notice in this particular screen, the CPU activity is 99.1%, and then the wait time is in red, but it's negligible, and then queued is 0.7%. Over to the right, you'll notice that we have generated a number of reports that we can review to get to more detail, and we've placed our cursor on the C01 report, and press enter, and going to slide number 68. This product allows you to drill down, so it gives you a high-level view of the application in terms of CPU consumption. Here we see that on slide 68 that the system is consuming 91.06%, and the application itself is consuming 8.93%. Going to slide number 69, if we need more detail, particularly with the application side, we can drill down. Here on this particular slide, if you look where the red circle is at, we've indicated a +3 to drill down a little bit further. And going on to slide 70, you can see that our bottleneck potentially is in a VSAM write in the application. Going on to slide number 71, we perhaps want to get a little bit more detail on the CSEC for the VSAM write routine. Here we're entering a P to provide source for this particular application. And going on to slide number 72, here's a good example of source program attribution. Here with the bars, you can see how in this case each one of these performs, how much CPU consumption is taking place here with this source view. Going on to slide number 73, the source program attribution, the point here is we not only can display a program source, but if you look at the pink line, you can see that this is what we refer to as referred attribution. This is a system module that's been called from the application, and as you can see, has taken a significant amount of time to process. Going on to slide number 74, this is just a snapshot of CPU uses by task or category. And here you can see, again, it's just a little different display of this particular application and the statistics on it. You can see here the CSEC VSAM write and the CEL LOCT in the VSAM write load module make up the 8.93% of the CPUs by this application. Going on to slide number 75, this is the CPU uses by procedure. So again, I could drill down if I needed to drill down from this point to see where the bottleneck may be. Going on to slide number 76, again using the P for to view the source listing. Again, looking at the VSAM write in this application. And again, on slide number 77, very similar to what the previous screen reflected, we can see not only source code and the CPU consumption based on the green bars, but also the system modules being called as well. Going on to slide number 78, you can see wait time by task and category. Just again, you can see VSAM write experiences delay when the system issued an SVC 18. Going on to slide number 79, again, this is wait time by task or module. So the SVC 18 was issued by module IVC 18. So we're now drilling down to the actual culprit. Going on to slide number 80, I wanted to give you a snapshot of the DASD IO analysis, and this is with the what we refer to as the D reports. And as you can see here on slide 80, there's a number of different reports you can access, uses by device, DD name, data set, EXCP counts and summary, VSAM stats, VSAM buffer pool usage, and the like. Going on to slide number 81, this is the DASD usage time by data set. Again, it's a drill-down approach where we place our cursor, in this case, on a data set, an ESDS VSAM file. Then going on to the next slide, you can see that we're displaying the various attributes for this particular data set. And if you look closely, you can see the CI size down the screen. You can see the CI splits, the CA splits, the logical record counts for the initial and last, and that sort of information. Going on to slide number 83, you can see an EXCP summary. And again, you can it's a drill-down approach if you want to see more detail. But again, on this screen, you can see, for the most part, what we saw on the previous screen. Going on to slide number 84, if you want to look at DASD activity timelines, this is a good screen to parse out VSAM and non-VSAM activity and then look at various timelines. Going on to slide number 85, here is a where we've generated a report via PDF and through APA, so you can see that we have a nice formatted report with PDF here. And going on to slide number 86, some of the advantages of APA and the problem determination tools is exploits the latest technology, including exploitation, as I mentioned earlier, of 3.2 CICS, and that would include support for the latest versions of all the other subsystems, including DB2 and IMS. And we provided it a very affordable pricing and no license keys, as I mentioned earlier, to allow you flexibility to move the tools around in your enterprise. Going on to slide number 87, I placed the URLs out here for the various tools. Within these URLs, if you go to these various tools, you can look at the documentation. We provide all that documentation, and it's downloadable from these URLs. And then going on to slide number 88, a little bit more information on the Help Center and various red books for the tools. Going on to slide number 89. Some of the items here for our education, we do provide free web-based training, as you can see, for the tools. So if at any time you would like to go out and look at specific areas of the tools or the entire tool, you can access this free web-based URL. On slide number 90, I provided all the tools that we provide in this PD tools area, along with their PID numbers. And now I'd like to turn it over to George Lees, my colleague for the KICS tools. George?
Thank you, Dan. And once again, thanks, everybody, for taking the time out to join us today on our VSAM discussion. The final segment today will deal with two of our CICS tools that deal specifically with VSAM and VSAM data sets. We'll start it off with a product called CICS or KICS VSAM Recovery. This is a risk management tool for mission-critical VSAM data. Advance to slide 92. VSAM recovery, what's it all about? It is a forward recovery tool for recovering lost or damaged VSAM data. That damage can result from physical loss of a data set or logical loss, intentional or otherwise, of data, or hopefully not a real-life disaster recovery scenario. What it does, forward recovery, is recovers updates made to data by KICS, and there's also support for batch applications in KICS VR. One of the key things that we like to focus on now is ways to automate and take the pain out of a real VSAM disaster recovery scenario, so we have tools and facilities for that also. What we're after mostly these days with VSAM forward recovery and KICS is try to automate these procedures as much as possible. We see now, especially with the later releases of CICS Transaction Server, that more and more of our customers are participating in service-oriented architecture, new workloads. CICS itself is just about language neutral these days. It's also data access neutral, support for any kind of data access structure that's out there, including VSAM. We want to make sure that if you do ever get into a forward recovery situation, we don't want to be stuck in a manual process. We don't want to be stuck having to make decisions arbitrarily. So a tool like Kik's vSAN Recovery is perfect for that kind of scenario. Some of the benefits, again, is automating recovery for physically or logically damaged files. Also, batch windows are shrinking under CICS. Very unpleasant situation if you're in a batch window configuration running along and one of your job steps happens. You want to be able to get forward recovery process moving quickly at that point. And the style of vSAN recovery is more along the lines of what you would see for a database-type recovery tool that you use now for DB2 and IMS. So let's go to slide number 93. Some of the key features, again, automated recovery. I'll just take a second now to just review. If you had to do this manually, it could be up to a 7-step process, starting with determining which data sets got corrupted. Next, making corrupted data sets unavailable. The third step, where is my latest backup that exists for the corrupted data set? Step 4, restoring that backup. Step 5, determining all transactions that updated the corrupted data set since the backups were taken. We have to determine what they are and then rerun them. And then we have, finally, to verify the data sets are valid and make them available for update. Now, there's some obvious disadvantages to manual recovery. First and foremost, you have to do daily record keeping and housekeeping. You have to keep track of all your backups and your executed transactions. That can be unpleasant. We're going to be prone to user error, and it's probably going to take an awful amount of time to do this. So the advantages of Kik's VR recovery, there is no manual record keeping. Kik's VR is notified of all your necessary recovery information. It stores it in a central repository. Far less chance of user error occurring. Kik's VR automatically builds an appropriate recovery job that requires minimal user intervention. And last but not least, we'll drastically be able to save some time if we ever get into a forward recovery situation. There's also the capability within Kik's VR to do test-only forward recovery and backup, dress rehearsal, if you will. We also provide some good reporting for your disaster recovery exercises. We have export and import facilities to help you along with that. We have a very important feature called change accumulation. Now, this is probably what you're used to in IMS as an example. If you do get into a forward recovery scenario, you don't necessarily need to forward recover all the activity that's happened. With change accumulation, you can go back and look at the most recent update, and Kik's VR has the intelligence to determine this and just apply those very, very last and latest updates rather than going through the whole forward recovery exercise. So that in and of itself is a huge time-saving advantage. Again, I'd like to point out that we also do have batch support, batch logging. We've introduced a new feature called Notify now in Kik's VR that says that we can automatically be notified by any of your backup packages. When you take a backup of vSAN file, automatically notify Kik's VR so it's always up to date with what file could potentially need to be restored in forward recovery. We do now fully support Kik's Transaction Server 3.2. Some of the new things we put in for Kik's VR itself at release 4.2 is the Kik's 3.2 support. And now we have support for ESDS datasets. Our backout failure detection operates in thread-safe mode, which is an increase in performance. And we also introduced integrated external backup support, including IBM AVARs, and some enhancements to logging. As an example, that would be with batch logging. We can have what we call multiple undo logs. We have facilities now for journal printing. Sometimes you want to see what's in these logs. You need it in hard copy format, so we introduced that. Coming down the road, we'll have additional functionality for our ISPF interface. We will be continuing on the automation front, and we'll continue for extended support for non-IBM backup tools and facilities. If I go now to slide 94, we'll see the architecture of Kik's VR. Kik's VR uses standard log streams written by CICS. CICS communicates to the vSAN recovery address space through a global user exit. We process forward recovery job stream logs and copies of recovery log streams and the log of logs. The actual vSAN recovery address space itself is dependent on that data set that you see there at the bottom, the recovery control data set. That's the heart and soul of vSAM recovery, and that's where all of your automation features come in, and a very, very nice ISPF interface to make that easy to control. Let me go now to slide 95. The business value of something like KixVR certainly is insurance protection for mission-critical vSAM files. We're hearing from our Kix customer base that maybe upwards of 10% of our larger CICS customers don't employ forward recovery at all these days. We think a tool like this certainly is critical and certainly should be put to use as you advance CICS functions to participate in service-oriented architecture, so on and so forth. Again, we use database recovery-style techniques to reduce the learning curve for forward recovery. We process just about all the vSAM processing types that are out there. We can reduce the cost of operator intervention and your on-call support people with the automation facilities. We can detect vSAM errors and take corrective action without anyone essentially lifting a finger. On the batch front, potential savings by reducing the number of backups when we're doing batch logging, as an example, in a multiple-step batch job, if one of those steps falls over, normally you'd have to take a backup, back it out, restore it. We have facilities to reduce the amount of time that's going to take. We'll recover at the job step level, not the job level. Again, we have assistance for disaster recovery. I'll get to that in a second on a further foil here. And the more we can automate these processes, of course, we're going to reduce the human error element for forward recovery. My next slide, slide 96. What do we provide for disaster recovery? Several utilities, a log stream copy that'll create a copy of your sequential data set with your forward recovery log stream to help you. Import and export facility for the RCDS. Again, creating a sequential data set that has all your essential recovery information. Well, that's your log stream backup and change accumulation data sets can be exported to your disaster recovery site and help you along in that process. Change accumulation is part of that facility. They'll accumulate the latest unread portion records of your forward recovery log stream and actually help you at a disaster recovery site get yourself up to speed, get yourself forward recovered in a very, very short amount of time. My next slide, 97, I'll just summarize again what KixVR is all about. Again, your insurance policy for your corporate vSAM data. It can be lost through hardware, software, or we hope never to see a total disaster. How do we help? Recover physically damaged or lost vSAM files at your primary site. And essentially the same thing can be done for your disaster recovery site remotely. We can also logically recover vSAM files from particular updates. If we were in a forward recovery situation and we didn't want to apply certain records, we can do that. We can remove updates that are made by a failed batch job step. That's the undo logging. That records before images. And if we're doing a recovery session for a batch job, we can easily do that at the job step level and save ourselves plenty of time. Again, we recover updates made by Kix, by batch, or both, and we do have support now for the latest version of Kix Transaction Server, that being at 3.2. Slide 99, vSAM Transparency. What does it do? It's a way to move data from vSAM to DB2 without making changes to your application program. In the process of doing that, you can take your data and actually clean it through certain utilities we have. We don't want any bad data surprises moving data from vSAM to DB2. We're actually re-engineering data to increase its corporate value. We may have situations, and a lot of customers tell us we have vSAM data sets that we'd like to do data mining on, but sometimes that's tough to do it. When it's a vSAM data set, it'd be much better to do that or easier to do that if it were a DB2 table. Now, in a situation like that, there's several paths you can take, one of them being to absolutely rewrite and re-engineer your program. Well, we're now finding out that re-engineering or rewriting from scratch is 5 times more expensive to do than reusing an application. That's what service-oriented architecture is all about, application reuse. So the benefit of something like vSAM transparency, it's actually a low-risk migration strategy. You don't have to take an all-or-nothing approach if you want to do this. You can modify your application programs at your own pace. And as we just discussed, certainly lower the total cost of ownership for Z-Series. So, like, let me go on to chart 100. We are talking about a single instance of the data once it's migrated from a vSAM file to DB2. Now, again, we're doing this without changing the application program at all. We could do this for both CICS and batch programs under the control of KIX VT, as we call it. Once that data is migrated, it could be accessed by any new programs via SQL. Again, on the low-risk strategy front, it is a fast path to move vSAM data into DB2. Again, it's not an all-or-nothing approach. You can do this at your own pace. You don't have to migrate all your vSAM files, obviously. And you do it, again, at your own pace. So let's go to chart 101, KIX VT capabilities. They are completely separate from the application program. The application program actually isn't aware it's using DB2. It'll still function and think, if you will, that it's accessing vSAM data. So it's totally transparent to the application program. We're using 100% static SQL to accomplish this. Again, we migrate on a file-by-file basis. If we're re-engineering our data, actually the point I'd like to make here is data can be re-engineered. The data returned to the vSAM program as it's accessing DB2 data will essentially be unchanged. Any DB2 return codes will be translated into vSAM return codes. That's another advantage that we see by not having to make any changes to the application program. Another important point here is the enhanced data that we have now migrated from vSAM to DB2 can be accessed by any future or new programs using SQL. So let's go to slide 102, take a look at exactly how does KIX VT operate. Again, we make the point your application programs remain unchanged. We see an example of an application program that originally was accessing two vSAM data sets. We've migrated vSAM data set number one to a DB2 table. We will actually be doing insert, update, and struct commands against it. Again, there'll be a single instance of this data. That vSAM data, once it's migrated, will no longer be required. But the application program can go on business as usual, if you will, with that second vSAM file, doing gets and rewrites, reads, and updates. So it's all completely transparent to this application program. If it is expecting a vSAM return code, it will get it from KIX vSAM transparency. Let's look now at chart 103 at some of the key features of KIX VT. Again, it is migrating vSAM files to DB2 without changing your application programs, maintaining a single instance or single copy of the data. KIX programs access the data via glue and true processes. Batch programs access DB2 via KIX VT. We do have utilities to do data cleansing if that's required. We can add SQL statements to existing programs to access this new data. We don't have any additional region or started task requirements as a result of migrating that data. For KIX, we have KIX support now at transaction servers version 3.2, 3.1, version 2. And we can go all the way back to transaction server for OS 390 at version 1.3. When we've done some new things for KIX VT in its current release, which is 1.2. Again, KIX 3.2 support. We actually operate now in ThreadSafe mode with KIX 3.2 to increase performance. We got a dual mode facility to assist with testing the migrated data. Again, that's dress rehearsal mode. We have an automated mapping facility now for assembler and PL1 to assist with that process, and the SQL driver modules are re-entered code now. I'll move on now to chart 104. If you want more information on these two KIX tools, that's KIX VR, vSAM Recovery, or KIX vSAM Transparency. We have a website you see up there, IBM.com for Kix tools. We also have information out there for our WebSphere Z-Series tools. We also have, for selected CSCS tools, if you go to our Kix tools page, plenty of information on other tools in the portfolio, information on CSCS itself, and a try-and-buy facility on select tools. You can actually go out there, download a tool, avoid all the IBM red tape, and actually get the tool in your shop up and running and play with it, if you will, for 30 to 45 days. We have the program numbers there on the right-hand side, the PID information for both vSAM recovery and vSAM transparency. Okay, at this point, I'd like to turn it back over to the operator. We have a sequence of polling questions and a Q&A session. Thank you very much.
And thank you. Now we would like to ask you to participate in a brief electronic survey. Right after the survey, we will have a live question and answer session with the presenters. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key, followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. And please listen to all options before making your selection. Please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. And if it was low, press star 3. And we'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone a chance to respond. And our second question, what was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference? If it was at the right level, press star 1. If it was not technical enough, press star 2. If it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. And again, we'll pause. Our third question, would you like more information on IBM's file manager product? If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. And we'll pause for just a moment. Our fourth question, would you like more information on IBM's Application Performance Analyzer product? If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. And we'll be right back. Our fifth question, would you like more information on IBM's CICS vSAM recovery product? If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. And we'll be back in just one moment. Our sixth question, would you like more information on IBM's CICS vSAM transparency product? If yes, press star 1. And if no, press star 2. And we hope you have enjoyed the teleconference today. Please let us know if you're interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. And that concludes our survey. Thank you all for your participation. Now let's move to your questions. To ask a question, please press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your touchtone telephone. And again, that is star 1 to ask a question, and we'll pause for a moment. And we'll take our first question from Ron Smith. Please go ahead.
Yes, I was wondering if the new version of File Manager within CICS, if it eliminated the need to actually have CICS submit a batch job. And
okay, this is Dan Brown. I can take that one. If I heard you correctly, you were asking in the new component of File Manager, the CICS component, would it allow you to submit batch jobs?
No. I think current... Well, the release that we have, it actually submits a batch job to do the file manager, you know, to communicate with file manager.
Uh-huh.
It actually submits a batch job, and you're communicating TCP/IP with the batch job. Has
mm-hmm.
that been changed? Because that's a tough function for us.
That is correct. We do deliver file manager with a batch component. We essentially added the CICS component. We had many requests from our customers to be able to edit and browse files as they're open to CICS without having to close those files. And as I mentioned in the presentation, that also includes temp storage and transient data queues as well. But in the CICS component, it was designed to use within CICS itself.
Okay, right. Understand it. But does that component require the batch job? Because really you could do that totally within CICS. You wouldn't need a batch job submitted or...
You're absolutely correct. You wouldn't need the batch component to do that.
Oh, okay. So it's totally handled within CICS now.
Yes.
Okay, then that's new in Release 8 then.
Correct.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Sure.
And we'll now take our next question from Emil Gobriel with New Jersey Transit. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Emil Gobriel. I have a question about the file manager and the APA component. Are they both one product or two products?
They're separate products. File Manager is one product, which is not only provides support for MVS files such as VSAM and QSAM, et cetera, but it's an all-inclusive tool, as we were talking about just earlier there, that we provide support for MVS components, DB2, IMS, and CICS. And then the APA product is a separate application performance tool.
Okay. Both of them.
If I could add to that, this is PJ. With APA, we have a lot more functionality, USS, Java, WebSphere, and all the other normal middleware stuff. That's how we designed it when we were coming into this market. Some of the ISVs out there charge for every single component, and how we wanted to help save cost and add value to Z is have a single product that will handle any middleware you may have today or that you may get when you acquire or merge with another company. You don't have to keep going out and buying new tools. It's the same tool we keep adding value to.
Okay. Both products, we can download it and have it try it for 60 days?
If you want to send me an email, I'll be happy to take that offline with you. My email is PBARON, so it's my first initial last name, PBARON. At us.ibm.com.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
For the question.
And next is Ken Jenkins with TSYS.
Yeah, I have a question on the VSAM file. When you do striping, is each stripe limited to a single volume?
No, they're not. I think what you're talking about or comparing it to is non-VSAM striping, which it is limited. But no, with VSAM striping, it can extend to new volumes.
Okay, great. Just one more question. Is VSAM going to become the data set of choice? Do you plan on keeping QSAM?
We really don't see those as in competition.
Okay.
And, yes, both will be continued to be supported.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And at this time, there is one name remaining in the roster, so if there are any additional questions, please press star 1 at this time. And we will now go to Gautam Handu with CapCat Gemini.
Hi. I had a quick question on the file manager. We talked about data scrambling a little earlier. What kind of scrambling are we talking about here?
We have basically four different algorithms that we can provide via File Manager MVS, one form is a repeatable scrambling algorithm, a random scrambling algorithm, and we also provide an exit point for you to provide your own scrambling algorithm if you choose to do so with the tool. And we also have
okay.
a table lookup capability.
Fair enough. Now, let's say I use one of the existing scrambling algorithms we have. Do we get a corresponding de-scrambling algorithm as well?
Did you say de-scrambling?
Yes.
Once you scramble, you know, basically it's scramble. What customers typically do in terms of using the scrambling utility is that they use the utility within File Manager, leaving the the master file intact, and then, say, the test file, you'd be scrambling.
Actually, where I'm coming from is we have quite a bit of data which we move across data center because we have production boxes on a different data center and my test this on a different data center on a different box. If I'm to move my data across, I was thinking, let's say, scramble it on one end, and I was thinking that probably we could de-scramble using the same algorithm or something.
If I could jump in a minute, the scrambling and these terms, you know, for everybody, we kind of use them interchangeable. Scrambling we look at as one way. You mix it up and you can't unscramble it like an egg.
Oh, okay.
Okay. What I think you're referring to is more encryption decryption.
Yes, something like that.
And so what you're going to see from IBM is a lot more coming out in the next month or so under the titles of data governance.
Oh, okay.
Our recent acquisition of Princeton Soft Tech.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to see a lot of things coming out in our information management group in that.
Okay.
So feel free. I gave my email. I'll give it again. If you have any questions on that area, we'd be happy to point you in that direction. It's pbaron@us.ibm.com.
Thanks.
Good question.
And there's no one else in the queue at this time, but I'd like to give everyone a final opportunity. If there are any additional questions, please press star 1 at this time, and we'll pause for just a moment. And it appears there are no further questions, so I'll turn the call back to P.J. Barron for any additional or closing remarks.
Okay. Well, again, thank you. It was a very interesting call, and I'm glad we had so many questions. I guess that proved it right from the roadshow that this is a topic that people wanted to hear about and they hadn't heard in a while. So, again, if you hadn't responded to the polling questions and you do have any further questions, on your email to me, in the subject line, just put VSAM. And that'll catch my eye real quick. I'll see it's a customer, and I'll get someone on the team or myself to respond. And finally, my email again is pbaron@us.ibm.com. And thank you very much for attending today's call.
And thank you. That does conclude our conference for today.